Welcome to Real Talk with me, the coach, Coach Rodney Young. Hey, today's episode is sponsored by Road Dog Fitness. If you're tired of just being tired, then go to roaddogfitness.com and change your life. Now, are you ready for the real talk? Are you ready to get this information? Well, I want you to stand up, open your ears up, and get ready, because here I come. Coach Rodney Young. What is going on, everybody? This is your friendly neighborhood coach, Road Dog Fitness owner, Juice Plus owner and distributor. I am the leader of this Real Talk for Real People podcast nation, but I am an all-around nice guy. Listen, I am back. Welcome to Real Talk for Real People. We are live and on the air. Listen, y'all know how to catch me. You can go to my Facebook page, which is Coach Young. You can go to my Instagram, my Twitter. They're both Coach Young. You can go to my website, which is RodneyYoungORG.wordpress.com. Or you can even leave me a message at area code 623-777-9502. Listen, y'all, I know I've been gone for a long time. It has been a lot that has been going on, but I am back. I am ready and raring to go. And I'm telling you, that's why I got a little Barry White going on, the first, the last, my everything. Because we're going to talk today a little bit about marriage. Okay, we're going to talk about how to have a healthy marriage, how to have a long-lasting marriage, and the steps that you have to take to make your marriage successful. But I'm going to let you listen to Barry for a little bit longer, then we're going to get it started. All right. Man, it has been a long time. I want to say, you know, hello to everybody who has stuck with me, even though I hadn't been recording and broadcasting probably for about 6 to 8 months. But, you know, praise be to God that God gave me the ability to come back and be able to talk to you guys. Shout out to the OG, triple OG from the CLE, Robert Young III, whose birthday is today. He is 117 years old. No, I'm joking. He's older than me, though. But want to send the love and the shout to the triple OG, you know, my guardian angel, that person that makes me right when I go left. And so I just wanted to give him a shout out today. I also want to shout out Rodney Young Jr., who urged me to get back on the air, who sent me my new podcast equipment to be able to get me back on the air. Definitely a shout out to the queen, my wife, Treva, who supports me in everything that I do, who supported me even through my hiatus, going through COVID and some other things. Man, I just got a lot to talk to y'all about, but I'm not going to do it right now. But we got plenty of time to really get into this. Definitely. So the title of this is called Till Death Do Us Part. And so, let me give you some of the specifics and my demographics for those that don't know Coach Young. Number one, I've been married for 27 years. I have had my parents were married for 55 years. And what I mean by till death do us part is my mother passed away in my father's arms. That's death till that's, you know, till death do us part. I've seen some great marriages. I've seen some marriages that are not as good. I've seen a lot of relationships that, you know, didn't start out with a firm base, that found that base and has been able to prosper. And I've seen those that have been struggling. So You know, for me, I want to give, you know, my testimony. I want to give examples of what I went through, what me and the Queen went through, and, you know, how things changed. And so, brief synopsis, when I was dating the Queen and I met the Queen, I was an immature young man. I'm gonna be honest with you. You know, we got married very young, and at the time I had my parents' marriage, and I watched that, and it was some ups and downs. It wasn't, you know, and I always refer to it as that, you know, me and the Queen, we ain't the Cosbys, okay? You know, we ain't Cliff and Claire. You know, there's been some trials and tribulations, and I seen trials and tribulations, you know, in my parents' marriage and other marriages. And so, you know, just stepping forward, you know, when I got married, honestly, was I ready to get married at the time? No. Mentally, I wasn't. But I knew that I had found someone that was different than anybody else. But at the time, I was not prepared as a man to be married. And I didn't understand what the steps were to not only being a good husband, but eventually a good father. You know, so I didn't know. And so, you know, praise be to our almighty Jesus Christ that, you know, me and the Queen went through some trials and tribulations in the beginning of our marriage. We were separated for about 6 to 8 months. I can be definitely transparent. It was not, I'm gonna be honest, I can say that it wasn't her fault. It was mine. I was being stubborn. I was being stupid. I was not mature enough to understand what I needed to do to be a man. To be a husband, to be a father. And it was honestly two people other than our Lord and Savior who really got me back on track. Number one was my Queen's grandmother. One time me and the Queen had a disagreement and she left and I was with her grandmother. And I really at the time thought that her grandmother was pretty much going to base me out, was going to chew me out. But you know what she said to me? She said, baby, I love you. She said, I don't know what's going on between you and my granddaughter, but I just pray that God fixes it. But I want you to understand that I love you. And it messed me up. It threw me backwards because I wasn't expecting that. You know, of course, when you're dealing with family, you're going to take that family side. And then the second conversation that I had was actually with my father, the original OG. Robert Young Jr. He came to me. I was in a bowling alley. Never forget this. Came to me I was at the bowling alley and he talked to me and he asked me a very simple question. He said, you know, do you love her? And I said, yes. He said, are you in love with her? I said, yes. He said, then fix it. He said, you got to fix it. And those that, you know, don't know my dad is a man of very few words. And so when he took that time and he came out and he talked to me, you know, that was the first time ever in my life that, you know, my father, to me, spoke to me in a way where it was like, okay, son, here is the wisdom, that I'm going to share with you. And from that point, me and the Queen, we reconciled, and we have been together now, like I said, 27 years. And so I wanted to give that base, and there's things that I left out because I don't have a whole lot of time, but I want to give you guys a foundation of, you know, when I got everything together and, you know, I wasn't perfect, and I'm talking from my standpoint, I wasn't perfect. I'm sure if the Queen got on here, the Queen would tell you that there was things that she did wrong. Okay. Because I know my Queen, but I'm coming from my perspective, and my perspective was I was not ready. I did not have the knowledge, the understanding. I didn't have the foundation on, number one, what it was to be a man. Number two, what it was to be a husband. And number three, what it was to be a father. I had great examples. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes you'll have examples sitting right in front of you and you don't pay attention. Okay. Real talk. That was just me. I didn't pay attention. So I wanted to give y'all that foundation. For me, before I really get into this, because, you know, there are some folks that'll come and even listen to this real talk and they'll say, well, how does he know? You know, what has he been through? You know, I've been through enough. I've been through separation, where possible divorce, but I've seen where God sent angels to help me reconcile. And I see what God has done in my marriage and in my life. Okay. Like I said, we not the Cosbys. It wasn't hunky dory every day, all day. But as I sit here right now, you know, 27 years within this marriage, I married my best friend, and she has been in my life, and she has not left my side for those 27 years. She is my ride or die. Okay. But we had to build this thing. So this is why I really want to touch on this topic. And like I said, this is just the first episode. This is part one. Okay. That I'm doing right now, because this is so meaty and so juicy that I'm going to give you a part two and possibly a part three, depending on, you know, what we do. All right. So let's get into this. So there are five aspects to a good marriage that I want to talk about. Five aspects. I'm sure there are other folks that'll come on and they'll say that there's more, but this is what Coach Young is saying. Okay. So, you know, here we go. So you have expectation, communication, problem solving, love, understanding. That's one together, love and understanding. And I'm gonna leave the best for last, and that's submission. Okay. Cause we use that word like a terrorist manual. Okay. But I'm going to leave that for last because there's so much to that. So I want to get into it. So let's get this started. First, I want to give you a scripture, and that scripture is Romans 8:25. And it says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Then you also have Psalms 39:7. And Psalms 39:7 says this, but now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Selah. So we want to talk about expectations. Okay. And I'm coming from, you know, women and men side. Okay. But let's start with the women, shall we? Okay. So I guess my question is, what is your standards? Okay. When you're dating, and we're going to, you know, and I'm going to talk to some of the single people right now, because you got to be single before you're married. But there are certain aspects of being single that, you know, you need to know before you walk into a marriage. Okay. Before you even walk into a relationship, there's some things that you need to know, ladies and even, and gentlemen, there's things that, you know, you need to know. And so, you know, what are your expectations when you're dating someone? What is your expectation? Okay. What are you looking for out of him? And what is he looking for out of her? Because see, when I look at relationships today and I look at marriages today, there's so many different things that I see, you know, with marriages that go wrong sometimes. And I see those various things. But the first thing I see, number one, is that there's no foundation, and that foundation is of Jesus Christ. And you don't, and you very rarely see that now, in today's society, because marriage today is looked at as a joke. Selah, real talk. I'm just saying, it's looked at as a joke. All right. It's not being treated for the holiness that is involved in terms of being married. But let me digress. What are your expectations, ladies, when you see that gentleman, when you first encounter that man? You know, what is your expectations in that relationship? You know, how do you want to be treated? How do you get yourself prepared for a relationship or the relationship that you're in? OK, how, you know, I go back to, how do you want to be treated? Okay, because I tell my daughter this. I've told her this 1,000 times. Okay, because I love my queen. I adore my queen, and I treat my queen the way the queen should be treated. Just like that queen, my queen, treats the king, which is me, the way that I should be treated. But we had to build on that. Okay, and so I tell my daughter, I said, you want to be treated like a queen, then you need to find yourself a true king. And stop playing with these court, and don't play with these court jesters. I won't say stop playing, because she don't play, you know, playing with these court jesters. Okay. And my explanation with that is, when you find yourself a king, that king is going to treat you with such a respect, and is going to honor you the way that you should be honored, you know, without compromising his manhood. Let me say that again. He's going to honor you, Queen, without compromising his manhood. Okay? Real talk. And I see that out here today. A lot of men, compromise your manhood to please a young lady. And that's ridiculousness. Okay? You can still be a man and not have to break yourself down, you know, or be broken down just to make someone happy. Listen, y'all. I have a motto, and I've given it to people, and it's like this. I'd rather be happy and alone than unhappy and with you. Real talk. Okay? I'm going to be me, and that's the great part about me and the Queen's marriage and our relationship is not any single time did the Queen try to change me. Now, don't get me wrong, brothers, there's an evolution, you know, there's an evolving that you have to go through, and that evolution is what I went through. But in terms of who I am, did she change who I was? No. I'm still the same guy today that I was when she met me in terms of my personality and who I am. Okay. Now, like I said, because we've been married so long and because we have three wonderful children, you know, there's some things that, you know, God shaped in me that maturity took place. Okay. So what I'm saying is, what are your standards? What do you look for in that man? Okay. Because honestly, and I'm going to say this to y'all, ladies, when you get past the BB&B, that's the brawn, the backside, and the biceps. What do you got? What do you got? What does he bring to the table? Okay. Ladies, what does he bring to the table? Ask yourself that question, okay? When you get past the BB&B, okay, what does he bring to the table, all right? Because we'll get into down the road. We'll talk about, you know, intimacy and sex, but we ain't talking about that right now, okay? Because even I've learned, you know, growing up is that's not the end all of all. Brothers, that's not the end all of all. There's got to be some substance. And so let me touch with the men real quick. Men, what are your expectations of the lady that you're dealing with? And there's still some maturity that some of y'all brothers have to have, because y'all look at the BB&B too, okay? And the BB&B is the boobs, the booty, and the beauty. The BB&B, you both got the BB&B, but once you get past that, then what? You know, I remember a movie with The Rock and Get Shorty and John Travolta and the main character was talking to a young lady. He's like, you better have a personality by the time you're 30. Looks fade. Brothers and sisters, looks fade. But once that happens, what is behind it? And I can sit here today, real talk, and say that my queen is probably one of the smartest women I've ever met. She not only stimulates me emotionally and physically, but there's a stimulation mentally that I continue to get from her that I've been getting from her since the first day I met her. Real talk. Okay, so I want to share that with you guys, okay? Because remember, I'm going to come on here and I'm going to be transparent. I'm not going to tell you something that I have not experienced, okay? So what is your expectation? What expectations have you set? And do you settle for less than your expectation? That silence was for a reason. So I want you to think about this, ladies, gentlemen. Do you bring your standards down because you're in such a rush to be in a relationship? If you do, shame on you. Don't bring your standards down. You make them come to you. Now, are your standards unrealistic? You have to think about that. Oh, I want to meet a man. He's already a millionaire. I want to meet a woman who, you know, owns her own company. Hey, listen, y'all, that's fine and dandy. But while you sitting there waiting on that millionaire, or while you sitting there waiting on that young lady who owns her own company, you could be missing out on who God has for you. See, because God's going to give you what you need, not what you want. Okay? Let me say that again. God's going to give you what you need, not what you want. And for me, honestly, I was wild. When I was younger, I was wild. And God sent me a lady, a woman, a real woman, a Proverbs 31 woman that knew how to push my buttons, but also knew how to calm me down. And it immediately calmed me down. When you meet someone and you get someone in your life, that person in your life is going to give you a sense of relaxation. It's going to let you feel like everything's okay, brothers. Okay? Regardless of what you've gone through. And ladies, that man that you meet, that man, once you get past, like I said, the BB&B, once you get past all that, that man is going to reassure you that he's got your back. That man is going to reassure you that he's going to cover you. Yeah, let me say that again. That man's going to reassure that he's going to cover you. Okay? And because he's going to cover you, whether it's mentally, spiritually, financially, okay? Now, the financial stuff comes in, you know, of course, when you guys tie the knot. But you have to, there has to be a comfort level when you're with that man. It has to be a comfort level when you're with that woman. I still to this day can laugh and joke and have a great time with my queen as we did when we were younger. Okay? Well, as when I was younger. She hasn't gotten old. I have. All right? See, lie. So what are your goals? Okay? What are some of your goals? What are your standards? You know, where are you at with that? Okay. And so saying that, you know, once you have set those standards, okay, then you get in and you get into that relationship and everything is good and is hunky dory and you're in it to win it. And then all of a sudden he decides that he wants to spend the rest of his life with you. And you've decided that you want to spend the rest of your life with him. Now, you know, I wish I could write a book and it's called The Day After, you know, the day after you get married, that's when real life starts. Because everything up to the wedding is hunky dory, is a little bit of pressure here, you know, but everything is hunky dory. Everybody love you, want to give you money and all that good stuff and the wishing well and all that. Let me tell y'all something. The money that went in the wishing well for me and the queen went for rent. Real talk. Because the next day started. Okay, me and the queen was in an apartment. We didn't have no furniture. We had a blanket and each other. Okay, we started from nothing. Okay, and you know what? I wouldn't change a single thing in that. Because it taught me how to be humble and hungry. Even as a husband. Okay, so, you know, once you do that and now you're together. This is where real life starts. Okay. I got an unknown quote for you. It says, a good marriage is one where each partner got the better deal. I love that. Because for me, I struck gold. Okay. When I married my queen, I felt like I hit the lottery, bruh. Real talk. Okay. I felt like I hit the lottery. I'm so, so serious. Okay. So set your expectations. Ladies, gentlemen, brothers, sisters, write them down. It's okay. And it's okay to hold someone to the standards, but make sure those standards are realistic. Okay. I have to put a disclaimer on that. Make sure that what you know, what your expectation is achievable, is obtainable, is sustainable. All right. All the above. Okay. Very, very, very simple. All right. And, you know, when you're in your relationship, I tell folks, please, please, oh, please have fun. Have fun. Enjoy each other. Okay. Because, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in everyday life, we don't enjoy the life that we're having. Okay. So if you're in a relationship right now and you know it's leaning toward that day of where you can walk down the aisle and, you know, he's the one, and you telling all your girlfriends, he's the one. Okay. And you have those girlfriends that they will say, okay, girl, you know, we got you. And then of course you're going to have one of those girls is going to be like, nah, he ain't it. Come on, y'all. You always had that one person who, you know, would say, ah, nah, he ain't it. Or that one person in your crew, brothers, that'll say, oh, no, I don't know about her, you know. And, you know, my mom always say, you take the meat and throw away the bone. Don't let that influence, you know, because at the end of the day, God is the one that is chosen that mate for you, not anybody else. So you don't always have to go for, you know, approval from your boys. You know, it's nice to have, but, you know, of course, family, yes. But, you know, you always gonna have those one or two. So let's get into the next one. That's communication. And I'm gonna touch on here for a little bit, and then I'm probably gonna stop here for this particular episode, and then we'll pick it up again next week. So communication, I want to give you Proverbs 12 and 18. It says, there is that speaketh life, the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Let me say that again. It says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Okay. The Bible also talks about death and life is in the power of the tongue. Okay. And so when it comes to communication, you know, we've talked about now you marry, you done done, 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 done. Now you're in this marriage now. And some folks will say the first 3 years, some folks will say the first 7 years are the most difficult time. You pick and choose. Okay. For me and the queen, it was the first 3 years that, you know, we had to, and I look at it as a learning experience, that we really had to relearn one another. Because once you get into that blissful mode, you know, everything hunky dory, and now you married, and now you see your brother's, you know, underwear hanging from the shower curtain, and now you're not used to that stuff. Okay. So now you got to reacclimate yourself to him, and he has to reacclimate himself to you. But once you get that, you know, we talk about communication. How do you talk to one another? You know, there's a lot of marriages that I've seen that people talk at each other and not to each other. Real talk, you know, you get into a disagreement and now it's World War III because he's talking, she's talking, and no one's listening. You know, my mom always said, that's why you have two ears and one mouth. You know, the Bible talks about being slow to speak, you know, and a lot of times we forget that. You know, we always want to get that point across instead of being able to listen and seeing what your mate's feelings are. Okay. And that's what happens. And communication to me is one of the single greatest reasons why marriages don't last. There are more, but that's one of them. It's communication. You don't talk to each other. You don't have a conversation. It's always some type of disagreement or some type of argument, you know, where you feel like you have to have your way. But that's why eventually we're going to talk about some submission, because we got to learn how to stay in our lane, ladies. We got to learn how to stay in our lane, gentlemen. We got to learn, you know, and that's why Coach is going to be here to teach. Okay. So, you know, in your communication, how do you talk to one another? You know, do you have friendly conversation? Do you call your mate on the phone just to hear her voice? Or do you call him on the phone just to hear his voice? Are you excited when he comes through the door? You just want to talk to him. Is he excited when he comes through the door? What type of communication do you have? Do you have edifying communication? Do you have uplifting communication? Or is your communication toxic? And I've seen some toxic communication. Okay. I've seen it. I've lived it. Okay. And a lot of times, because people see the examples that they have, they feel like that's okay. But I'm trying to tell y'all it's not. You got to be able to talk to one another, especially when you start having kids. You've got to be able to communicate effectively to one another. Okay. You've got to be able to, in the midst of conflict, be able to talk to your mate. Okay. Because see, the devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, he wants to get into the midst of your marriage, and he wants to cause discourse, dismay, dysfunction. He wants to diss it all. Okay. But there are ways in beating the devil, because the devil is a liar. He's a sucker. He's a punk. He's your adversary. He's your opponent. And he's going to try to be in the midst of everything that you try to do on a positive level. But understand that God is there. He's your right hand. He's your salvation. He is on your shoulders. When you go to him and you ask God for advice, he's going to give you the best advice he knows how. And that advice is going to come through the word of God. You know, so like I said, the Bible says slow to speak, easy to listen, slow to wrath. Why does he say slow to speak first? Because we always want to talk. Men, we always want to talk. Ladies, okay? And we can go into the percentages of who want to talk more. That's another debate within itself. But everybody wants to talk. But when you talk, you're not hearing. When you talk, you're not hearing. You got to be able to listen, decipher, discern, and then respond. But it's got to be based off of the word of God. So let me give y'all this tip before I, you know, end this segment. And like I said, I'm going to pick it back up and we're going to continue to go. Do you pray before you talk? Do you usher in the Holy Spirit before you speak? Now, some do, some don't. But I've learned that a couple that prays together, of course, yeah, the old adage, they stay together. Okay. But a couple that prays is a couple that understands that it's not about them. That couple understands it's about God that uses them. Real talk. So do you pray before you talk? Okay. Listen, I'm going to give y'all an example. Some dear friends of mine. Pastor Ron Hale, Dr. Ron Hale, Dr. Donita Hale. I remember one time that they had a disagreement, and me and the Queen were sitting in their living room at the time, and they had a disagreement, and the way that they handled that disagreement was like nothing I had ever heard before. They were going back and forth with each other, but it was in the word. I'm being completely transparent. It was in the word. And they both were speaking scriptures to one another. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I was on the floor. Literally, I was laughing because it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. I had never seen a disagreement or strong fellowship like that. But it gave me an example, and it showed me that it's not always about anger. You know, you don't have to always communicate, even in a disagreement, in anger. And you always, you know, and if you can bring the word of truth in, then do that. You know. Ecclesiastes 7 and verses 9 and 10 says, "Be not hasty to wrath, for anger resideth or resteth upon the bosom of a fool." And I always say that an angry man is a man who cannot obtain wisdom because they ain't hearing. They too busy trying to get their point across. Real talk. So in our communication, is our communication edifying? Is our communication uplifting? Or is our communication toxic from both ends? So when I come back, after this commercial break, we're going to talk about how do you deal with toxic communication. All right, be back. Hey, are you tired of getting up and going to the gym every day with no results? Are you getting sick of getting on a scale and it says to be continued? Are you tired of eating air because you're trying to lose weight? Well, I got the solution for you. Go to RoadDogFitness.com. Road Dog Fitness was started by Rodney Young Sr. and Rodney Young Jr. And the sole mission is to help people lose weight effectively, diet responsibly, and achieve their weight loss goals reasonably. Go to RoadDogFitness.com. You can schedule a consultation with a certified personal trainer, and you can get workouts that are going to be effective in your life. So once again, that's RoadDogFitness.com. Go to RoadDogFitness.com. All right, guys, we're back. Before we went to commercial, I talked about dealing with toxic communication. How do you deal with toxic communication? Well, number one, you got to identify if the communication is toxic. And there are six different ways that you can identify that there is toxic communication. Number one is jumping to conclusions. You know, your mate is speaking to you and all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, the worst. You got that catastrophic mindset where no matter what he or she says, that is the worst thing that's ever been said to you in the history of life. And that's not necessarily the case. Okay. You also have number two is judgment. You come to, you know, especially if you're coming to jumping to a conclusion, and you're always going to have a judgment. You're going to judge that individual for what they're telling you instead of sitting back and listening and getting an understanding of what your mate is saying. Number three is labeling.
Oh, well, you just like your daddy. You know, you act, you know, as a husband, you're acting just like your daddy, or the husband saying you reminded me of your mama. You know, that's labeling. You're labeling. OK, you know, and that's it also goes back to what your expectations are. You know, what is your expectation in this marriage? OK, what do you see or how do you see this marriage being? You know, if you're in that mode of labeling. Number four, stonewalling. Oh, my goodness. Stonewalling. Just being stubborn. Just being outright defiant. OK, no matter what your mate says to you, you're going to find that hill and you're going to die on it. And it's not going to get you or your mate anywhere because you're constantly just going to continue to butt heads. OK, contempt. OK. Just outright and utter just dislike for your mate. And it comes through your words. Okay. Remember, life and death lies in the power of the tongue. All right. And then number six is criticism. I don't know how many marriages that I've seen where the spouse is so critical. It doesn't matter what the subject is, that the spouse is so incredibly critical, you know, whether it's the husband or whether it's the wife, it's always some kind of, you know, critique. I'll add another one. Skepticism. You're always wondering what your mate is up to. You know, they're saying something and you always thinking that there's something else, you know. But this comes through your communication. Okay? It comes through the way that you talk. And a lot of times, you know, individuals don't believe that their communication is toxic. Even when you're swearing at one another. And I don't get me wrong. My parents, you know, were married for 55 years. And in those 55 years, man, I think I heard every word in the book. You know, and it wasn't always the most effective way of communication. It wasn't, you know, and I'm not condemning them because that's what they knew. It didn't waver the fact in my mind that my parents loved one another, because they did. They just sometimes had a weird way of showing it, you know, but that was the way that they were brought up. You know, a lot of times your communication is based on the way people have communicated with you. Real talk. So a lot of times the way that you talk to your husband or the way that your husband talks to you is based on the communication, based on the way that he was talked to or that she was talked to coming up. Okay? But we also have to understand is that when you bring information to your spouse, you know, I use this analogy. If I brought you a plate of fruit on a rusted silver platter, would you eat it? No. Even though the fruit is pristine and clean, you're not going to eat it. Well, why? Because of the platter that it's been presented on. So what I'm saying is when you communicate with your spouse, how are you presenting? How is your presentation? Are you, you know, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I always say, are you giving fruit or are you throwing fruit? Real talk. Okay. Are you giving the fruit of information and the fruit of communication with your spouse? Are you throwing it at them? Vice versa. I'm not just talking about men to women. I'm talking about women to men. You know, do you communicate with your spouse as if they're like your children? Think about it. Okay. Because we'll get into communication with your kids too, real briefly. Okay. But I want to give you these scriptures. Okay. Because remember, everything is based off the word of God. So what I want to give you is James 1:19, and it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Okay? So a lot of times when you hear the scripture, it says quick to hear, slow to speak. See, for me, sometimes, even in my marriage with the queen, sometimes I have to keep my mouth shut so that I can clearly hear the information that's coming through, be able to process it. And if I don't agree with it, it gives me that opportunity to formulate my words where I communicate with her enough to where she understands that I don't agree with it, but I ain't trying to beat her down with it. Okay? But I'm sharing that information, okay, that I don't necessarily agree. All right. Another one, Colossians 4:6. It says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Now, let me keep it real with y'all, guys. Ain't none of us perfect with this. I'm not going to sit up here and condemn you for if you're not communicating with your spouse effectively. Because here's the thing. The Bible says that a just man falleth 7 times, but because of God's grace, you have the ability to get back up. I'm giving you the information so that if you don't have effective communication with your spouse, husbands, if you don't have effective communication with your spouse, ladies, You have the ability to change it. You have the ability to change it. Number one, you got to be able to repent and say, you know what? I shouldn't have talked to you like that. I was angry and I didn't, you know, and I didn't communicate or share my feelings with you the way that I should have. Everybody, it's okay to say you're sorry. It's okay to say that you made a mistake. Don't feel good when you say, oh, my bad. But you can do that, okay? Because remember, you guys are in this together. You know, that's the one thing I need for my couples to understand is that you're in this together. It's not an adversarial type thing. It's not a me trying to one up you. No, we're in this together. You know, but understand the decisions that have to be made. You know, I will make. And we will be on the same page when that decision is made. And I share this. If you and your spouse are not on the same page, go to the Word of God. I tell everybody to be still. Be still. Be still. Selah. Last one. Ephesians 4 and 29. It says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion. It may give grace to those who hear. Okay. I just want to give y'all those three scriptures because I want you to understand that when you communicate with each other, you know, even in the midst of a disagreement, there still has to be love that comes out of your mouth. Okay. I also want to give you this. Here's some tips on managing conflict in your relationship. All right. Real quick, tips for managing conflicts in your relationship. Number one, avoid bringing up the past. Stay focused on finding solutions. Listen, the queen said this to me a long, long time ago, and it stuck with me. She said, love is not record keeping. Love is not record keeping. Real talk. You know, you can't get into a disagreement with your mate and then all of a sudden you want to bring up something that happened in 1972. That don't make no sense. You can't do that. Stick to the topic that's in front of you. Okay? Stop focusing on the problem, so to say. I mean, state the problem, but then what's the solution to the problem? Because I've always been a firm believer. If you don't have a solution to a problem, 9 times out of 10, you're probably a problem, or 9 times out of 10, you are the complainer. And you just want to complain. Okay. Number two, set out a solution. And that solution is through the Word of God. Set out a solution. After you have stated what the problem is, if you guys have got point, counterpoint, however you do it, what is going to be the final solution? Okay. Here's a hard one, guys and gals. Listen without interrupting your partner and reflect before responding. What? You mean you want me to think before I say something? Yeah. Think. You know, when I grew up back in Cleveland, Ohio, off the streets of Harvard Avenue, we used to have a term back then and said, you know, when somebody got angry, we used to say, oh, man, they getting heated. They heated. Well, the reason that they heated, because believe it or not, when you get angry, your body temperature goes up. Yes, I'm getting psychological. Okay. Physiological on ya. Honestly, when you get angry, your body temperature, your core body temperature goes up. That's why we used to say you get heated. So what I suggest, you know, when I used to do marriage counseling to the husbands is I would say take 30 seconds Take a deep breath before you respond. Because don't get me wrong, guys, our wives know that button to push right behind our Abdullah Oblongata that will set us off. And so you have to be able to sometimes recognize that the conversation is becoming toxic, and you being the man have to be able to diagnose it and destroy it. And the worst way to destroy it is through anger. Okay. Sometimes you got to take a deep breath, analyze the situation, and then get your point across in a way where it doesn't seem like you're biting. Because that doesn't solve the issue. Is when guys are biting at each other. It doesn't. When you heat it, you're not paying attention. You just want to get your point across. Okay. This is number four. Admit when you're wrong. Some of us, you know, men and women will not admit when they're wrong. And guess what? That's pride. And the Bible talks about pride coming before the fall. Okay. Don't be prideful. If you're wrong and you made a mistake, say you made a mistake. I'm guilty of that. I'm not going to sit up here and say that I've been right all the time, you know. And it, you know, it's hard. You know, sometimes as a man, you turn around and say you're wrong. But you know what? I've humbled myself enough where if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I'll say I'm wrong. It may take me a minute to come back and say it, but I will. I'll come back and say I'm wrong. And guess what? When I'm wrong with my queen, there's such a humbling moment for the both of us that she knows that if I do say something out of pocket, that I will come back and say I'm sorry. Now, there are times, and I'm sure if the queen got on this microphone, she'd tell you, there are times that I don't always say I'm sorry. I'll show that I'm sorry. And that's not right either. But I do it. I can be transparent with you guys. Okay. Number six, consider your partner's perspective. Now, that's just sitting and thinking and listening. That's being an active listener. If you want to say 6A or add that on, being an active listener, when I've been certified in conflict resolution. And one of the things that I learned was to be an active listener. Listen, because sometimes when you guys are in a heated discussion, or I call strong fellowship, sometimes you don't listen. And when you don't listen, there are times where you miss the nuggets of understanding that you may hear and say, okay, wait a minute, I didn't see it from that perspective. Okay. You know, and another thing in terms of active listening is being able to repeat what your spouse is saying. So you reiterate. So you're saying that, you know, I was too hard on the kids. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Well, here's my thought on that. Okay. But consider your spouse's perspective. Okay. And lastly, practice empathy when criticized instead of getting defensive. Let me tell y'all something. That's hard. Okay. Because no one likes to be criticized. And I would even go a step further in saying, if it's got to be that critical, take your time with it. Okay. If it's something that I'm not doing, then I want you to tell me. But once again, are you giving fruit or are you throwing fruit? Okay. Understand that. Think about that. Am I giving fruit to my mate or am I throwing the fruit at them? Okay. So just to define, you know, healthy communication is an effective exchange of thoughts and feelings between people. It often involves people taking turns speaking and listening. Ideally, when you engage in healthy communication, the people involved are devoted to the exchange. Both people are aware of how they're acting during the conversation. That's just the definition of what a healthy communication is. You know, I tend to go with the scripture, be slow to speak, you know, and slow to wrath. So, quickly, how do you communicate when it comes to your children? You know, I use the same concepts when it comes to the kids. And I really, really try to take my time, you know, because I understand at certain times that me as a man, me as a father, sometimes I don't exude the most compassionate nature. And I say that honestly because I want to see my children be so successful that I will push to the limits. And a lot of times my queen has to tell me to take a step back a little bit because I do have a tendency to lack compassion. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, my kids, you know, break a limb and I'm like, tape it up, put some dirt on it, you'll be all right. No, not like that. But I do have a tendency not to see from their perspective. And husbands and wives, parents, I want you to understand something. Sometimes y'all forget y'all was kids. Now, on the flip side, some of y'all remember how y'all were kids. That's why y'all so tough on y'all kids. Listen, it's got to be a happy medium. Okay. I allow my kids to be who they are because my parents allowed me to be who I was. Now, there was boundaries. Don't get me wrong. You know, but my parents allowed me to be who I was. So I allow my children to be who they are. But I had to learn with my wife how to be able to communicate with my kids because I have a beautiful daughter and I have two sons. And definitely with my sons, I know I can be tough. I know that. And it's only because in this day and age, and I'm just going off topic just a little bit. I know in this day and age, you know, the world is trying to turn our men into women. Slowly but surely. Real talk. I don't care if you agree with it or not. Look at what's going on in the world. And the one thing that I'm going to always do is the same thing that, you know, my OG, you know, Robert Young III, and my triple OG, you know, Robert Young Jr. taught me was to how to really be a man. And that's another subject in itself. I'm not going to get into all that, you know, but men, when you communicate, you know, with your spouse, when it comes to your children, you know, especially with the young men, there's a standard that you have to raise. Because if you allow this world to raise your sons, I'm going to pray for you. And that's real talk. So to effectively communicate with your spouse, even if y'all don't agree, one thing that I took pride in, and me and the queen took pride in as we grew up, is we never argued or had strong fellowship in front of our children. When they were kids, when they were younger, no. If we didn't agree, we would go back into the room. We would set down whatever parameters we needed to set down with our children. And then when we went back into the room, if one spouse didn't agree, we discussed it. But we never, ever disagreed in front of our children. And we never, ever didn't support one another when it came to disciplining our children. Never. Never. Not in front of them. Like I said, we may have fellowship behind closed doors, but never in front of them. Because if your kid sees toxic communication in front of you, I'm telling you, as the youngest of four children, I am going to take complete advantage of it. If mom is mad at dad, I'm going to mom to do something I probably shouldn't do. And mom's going to say yes, well, I know dad will say no. That's what it was. Now, what is that? That's manipulation. And you got to be able to identify that. But the only way you're going to be able to identify that is you have to have a healthy communication between each other. My children has never, ever seen me bless my wife out. Number one, I never really had a reason to. Because we talk. But my children have never seen that. Okay. Never seen that. If your kids see that the toxicity that comes out of your mouth, what do you expect from them? You are the example for them. Okay. So I wanted to touch on, you know, being able to communicate with your kids and being able to communicate with your spouse when it comes to your kids. Okay. Because I'm telling you, as much as you don't think, your children are watching you. And they're going to pattern and mimic whatever they see you do. So if your relationship is healthy, yeah, you got trials and tribulations. It happens. But if your relationship is mainly healthy, then your children is going to strive for a similar relationship. I want my sons to find wives. And I know they may have girlfriends in the midst. I'm not ignorant. But my sole goal for my sons is for them to find wives. My sole goal for my princess is for her to find a prince. And they understood that from day one. Okay. So to end this segment, I just want you to understand is that communication is very key between each other. Toxic communication, you got to be able to identify and destroy. One of the key ways of destroying a toxic relationship is, I said this, is prayer. You need to pray before you talk. You need to usher in the Holy Spirit before you speak. Because the Holy Spirit has a way of making things calm itself. I don't care how angry you get, bruhs. I don't care how angry you get, sisters. Pray before you speak. Pray before you speak. And realize when you're talking to one another that you're adults, you're not kids. Respect him for the man that he is, and respect her for the woman that she is. But in all things, talk and speak and communicate in love. All right. All right. I'm going to end this here. I'm going to come back with part two next week. We're going to continue in this series, and the next thing we're going to talk about is problem solving in a marriage, love and understanding in a marriage, and then we're going to talk about submission. Okay, so you guys tune in next week, same bat time, same bat channel, and let's understand we're going to get better at loving one another. Man, time flies when you're having fun. My time is up, guys, but I thank you for joining me for Real Talk for Real People, and I pray that the information that you receive today be on soft soil, and I pray that your week be successful and prosperous in Jesus' name. Join me next week for another intriguing episode of Real Talk for Real People, and until then, remember, whenever you talk to someone, make sure to keep it real. I'll see you next week.